This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us on SB Nation Radio. Last night of the majors, Bryce Harper got ejected from the Phillies game against the Mets last night, arguing with the umpire. But he didn't do it in the traditional throw-me-out-of-the-game manner. You know, get up to the plate. Maybe you don't like a called strike. Maybe you're a little embarrassed. Maybe you don't like the strike zone. Maybe you jaw at the umpire. You start freaking out a little bit. One thing leads to another. You say some things you shouldn't. And you get tossed from the game. That seems to be the most way that is handled. No. Not Bryce Harper. He went up to the plate, didn't like a call, went back to the dugout. Four batters later, Gabe Kapler went out to argue something. And Harper decided, if there is a time to go ballistic, now would be the time to go ballistic. So he ran out of the dugout on a kind of a wet night in New York, nearly slipped on the dugout steps in his anger at the home plate umpire, started screaming at him, and got his 12th ejection. Now, I understand emotion in baseball, and I usually don't fault guys for getting ejected. Sometimes this is the kind of emotion that can occur through a long season, and sometimes you just got to let it go, and you got to let it out. But Harper, it seems like this was a staged thing, right? He's steaming. And it looks like he just had one of those moments where, you know what? His brain said, you know what? Let's go do this. And his body said, yeah, let's go do this. And he ran up the stairs to get ejected. Sometimes you see this with people who have that kind of, it's not slow anger, but he says, he goes, I go from 0 to 100 anyway. Well, this didn't feel like 0 to 100. This feel like 0 to 100, but stops at 60, 75, 85, 90, right? Because what he did was he went back to the dugout while upset. He was waiting for the match, right? You ever seen people where they go, they start off talking and they get a little bit more aggravated and a little bit more aggravated. And before you know it, they're really in a full out argument, they're in a full out rage over something, but the beginning of the conversation was calm but force. That's what Harper did last night. Instead of just immediately reacting to a bad call, he let it simmer, saw a spark, lit the fire.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. We're going to be broadcasting live from the draft in Nashville, downtown Nashville. Me and Ron, Boss and Gloss with David Gow and Carla, they'll be broadcasting live. Rockin' Mnuch in the afternoons here on the network. Jake Asman and Alex Gold will also be broadcasting draft night, I believe Thursday and Friday, right? I know Thursday. They're also going to have Friday analysis as well.
Yes.
Rounds
but
two
Thursday,
and three.
I mean, Thursday, they're going five strong
that
hours.
That is going to be really cool.
We'll have all
5 hours
picks.
Of breaking it all down.
We'll have all the picks.
All the picks for you on draft night. So it's going to be great here on SB Nation Radio. Celebrating well, one
we're
of
leaving
the
it
better
up to you,
sporting
Tony.
Events of the year.
We know you're the mayor.
I hope I'm entertaining all of you.
We know you're the mayor of Nashville. So
that is correct. That's, oh, well, you know, some other people that might lay claim to that. But I grab it.
Who are those people?
Well, you know who is the, we call him the mayor of Nashville. At least other people do. I'm not into that world, but I've heard that it really is Vince Gill, the country singer. I'm not a country music fan, but he is everywhere all the time. He goes to Predators games a lot. He goes to Belmont basketball, Vanderbilt basketball. He is a staple in the sports world. He'll perform at, which is really weird. If you go to Predators games here in Nashville, it's kind of neat because you know how hockey is that in-between period time where it's kind of long and the Zamboni comes out.
And there's really not a lot to do, so you kind of roam the concourse, maybe get something to eat. So what the Predators do is they find these kind of music acts to perform, right? And their guys are trying to get their record out there. They're trying to get their name out there. So they perform in between periods, and hopefully they're trying to catch an eye or something. And so they're easy to grab. But during the playoffs, they'll actually get some country stars. But Vince Gill, it's common that he will play during the regular season sometimes. He'll play during the playoffs. He'll just come out there. He'll just play. He'll just play with the acts that are on the stage, like the young guys who are trying to make a name for themselves. He'll come out and play guitar with them for a little bit.
So what you're saying is that, you know, Vince Gill will go and steal someone's thunder.
He could steal somebody's thunder.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can imagine, like, Vince, get off the stage. I'm trying to make a living here.
He's trying to upstage the, would-be artist.
Yeah, like, we had our shot, but Vince Gill came along and played guitar in my act and ruined it.
Will Vince Gill be at the draft?
I think he will be, yeah. I think he will be. I think, I'm trying to think if there's some others that might be out there.
Well,
Luke Bryan,
because I know that
he's on American Idol, right?
Like, last year in Dallas, they had, I can't remember her name from the NFL Network, but she kept coming, I think, Colleen Wolf.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
They kept having her and Drew Pearson coming out. And they were kind of the hosts, the MCs, if you will, of the draft.
Gotcha.
Giving it an award show type feel to it. Because they would come out after every pick, and then they would just, you know, banter with the crowd. You know, Drew Pearson would pick a fight with the Eagles.
And yeah, that was great.
And then you would all of a sudden hear the music, and you knew that Roger Goodell was going to be coming out to make the next pick. So, you know, given that idea and that mindset, Titans really don't have a long history of sports stars.
And that was my point, and it's an unpopular opinion because the city, you know, Nashville does a great job with, like, pretty much everything it does, because it has entertainment people here that know how to do this, know how to put on a show. So that's part of
the city's
appeal.
You know, would Vince Gill be there? Because Vince Gill is he's hosted many award shows.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
my unpopular opinion is I didn't want the draft to be, a down-home country draft. Like, I didn't want that. Like,
no,
get out your sweet tea and kick off your boots. We're picking football players. Like, the country music has the CMAs. Country music has country Christmas. They have, I mean, they put on they do all sorts of stuff. I don't want the draft to be, I don't want them and that industry infiltrating the draft. I don't mind a little taste because that's what Nashville is known for, but I don't want to dominate it. I just don't want, here's big and rich, right? I want the NFL to be prominent, and I don't want country stars overshadowing this event.
But there better be
some country. That's one of the most unpopular.
Though.
Yes, I think so, of course. But I think it's one of the most unpopular opinions here in the city.
Well, it's because, like, you're not a country fan. You haven't
I'm just
embraced,
not. It's
you haven't
not
embraced
my thing.
Nashville yet.
Well, it's not my thing.
Yeah, that's going to hurt your mayoral.
Yeah, that's true.
Candidacy.
If word got out that I am not as big into country music as others that are vying for the
you
seat,
you would get impeached.
Yeah, very much so. But I mean, listen, I'm sure Reba McEntire is a fine individual, but I don't want her picking the Titans pick, right? Like,
No, they won't.
You know what I mean? Like,
she
I don't
won't
want.
Be making, well, that could happen in the later days.
I mean,
Day one, it's all Goodell all the time.
Yeah, Goodell. But then the later ones, I mean, give it to Javon Curse or someone like that, right? Like,
well, who's the biggest Titan star? The only one I can think of would be Wycheck.
Frank Wycheck. Well, the biggest star, he's passed away.
Yeah,
but
obviously.
The biggest star is...
Maybe they have him come out in a hologram form?
Yeah, Frank.
Like Tupac and Frank Sinatra?
Yeah, right.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be good. Frank Wycheck, yep, he'd be one of them. What about... No, he passed away too. Remember Rob Baronis, the kicker?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, shoot.
Really,
I almost went there.
There really
like, last second, I forgot he died in a car crash.
Yeah, he still mentioned his name.
Right.
But, there's really – Titans don't have a big history.
See, that's the problem.
Do you pull out Euler?
Right. Right?
Earl Campbell.
Is Dan Pastorini available?
Probably.
Right. No,
he's
again,
here in Texas. We see him every once in a while.
Again, this is the second – this is another second unpopular take that I've had since Nashville was awarded the draft. You go to Dallas and Philadelphia and Chicago, and then you go to Nashville, and if you're trying to extrapolate from the city this generational passion for their NFL football team, you're going to the wrong place, right? You're going to the wrong place. There's nobody in Nashville that talks about, my granddad liked the Titans, so my dad liked the Titans, so when I grew up, just natural that I became a Titans fan. No, replace Titans with Volunteers, and that's a better assessment of what the city has, right? You go to Philadelphia, that is a deep, deep, deep relationship with the Eagles. I mean, that goes back a long time. Cowboys especially. Bears, holy cow. Bears have been around for an eternity. Like, almost since the inception of the league. The Titans, they've only had the team in Nashville for 20 years, 21 years.
Which right? is weird to say, because it still feels like it's only been five.
Right. I mean, they left Houston and spent 1 year in Memphis. And then went to Nashville, like, I think 2 years later, they were in the Super Bowl. So 21 years or so that they've actually been in the city. And yet, you know, so if you're trying to get that, you're not. Now, if you're trying to take this event and surround it with good entertainment, you've come to the right place, right? This is what this city knows how to do. When the Predators were in the Stanley Cup Finals, they did a lot of this kind of thing before every game that they were hosting. And even when they weren't hosting, they had these big outdoor parties in downtown Nashville to watch the Preds in their Stanley Cup series against the Penguins. And they did everything, right? You could come out. Here's a band. Here's a group. Here's this singer. He's going to perform. I mean, they know how to do this. They know how to put on a show. They've got entertainment right in their blood. I just don't want it bleeding so much into the event. I don't want it to overshadow this, because this in and of itself is an event without all the extra bells and whistles. I just hope the city and the NFL make sure that these are accessories, not the actual, you know, not the actual garment.
And if they don't do it right, they're going to get the San Diego treatment.
You're probably true. That's probably right. That's probably
never
right.
Going to get it back until you
never
make the changes.
Yeah, exactly.
Until you
exactly.
build a gigantic convention center, indoor stadium, whatever you need.
Nothing sounded like a disgruntled spoil sport than I just did in that segment.
But, you know what happened? I think you just went full Bryce Harper.
I kind of did, right?
Yeah, it was slowly building. There wasn't, you know, you didn't just lash out immediately. You were just kind of building to the, you know, stating your case, and then, yeah.
Because it goes back to something I one time talked about. I think we even made a promo on it, where the entertainment, sports and entertainment, I always look and say, listen, my sports are bigger than your entertainment, right? But that analogy I used with my sister in the Oscars, where she says, the Oscars is my Super Bowl, but I don't say my Super Bowl is the Oscars, because my Super Bowl stands alone. It doesn't need a comparison.
No, you say my right? Super Bowl is the Super Bowl.
Is the Super Bowl. You compare your event to mine. I don't have to compare my event to yours. That's what I have for the NFL in the draft. I want it's such a big event. I don't want the bells and whistles to overshadow it, because in the end, it's the NFL is still the centerpiece. The draft is still the centerpiece, and it's going to be. I mean, I can't imagine it's going to bleed in that much. But I want downtown to be filled with football fans, not football fans carrying along their other people who are not fans, who just want to see these acts or whatever is going on downtown, if things are going on downtown. That's just my take. But nevertheless, we are going to have some fun, because I can't wait to see what all the hoopla is going to be. But coming up, what if Kyler Murray doesn't go number one? It's going to set off a chain reaction in which teams will rise up to try to grab him. That's next on SB Nation AM.
This is Mike Hurgin. Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by our great friends at Jeep. Let's talk about your car's GPS. Your new car is 2 years old now, and now you're finding out how outdated your car's GPS has become. Over 87,000 miles of roads are built every year. Speed limits change, off-ramps change. It's an enormous task to map every road in the USA. But then again, you paid $1,000 or even more for the nav system because you don't want to get lost. and now your system needs to be updated. What you didn't think about is the price to update the system. It's come down in price, but it's still anywhere from $100 to $750 for the map updates. But wait, isn't the GPS on your phone free with your service? Doesn't it update daily? And it includes places to eat and where to get gas? I'm sure if you thought how handy the smartphone is, you wouldn't have paid extra cash for the nav system and be stuck with the Bluetooth system only. With the next car, I want you to think about it. This is Mike Hurst from Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by our great friends at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. Letstalkwheels.com.
Jeep vehicles are world famous for giving you all kinds of freedom. The freedom of going anywhere, anytime in the legendary Jeep Wrangler. Motor Trend's 2019 SUV of the year. The freedom to travel in luxurious comfort with Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. The freedom of taking in more fresh air in Jeep Compass with its available panoramic dual-pane sunroof. Or the freedom to push your adventures to new lengths with Jeep Cherokee's fuel-efficient 31 MPG highway. So hurry and visit Jeep.com today for legendary deals during the Jeep Freedom Days sales event. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. Available feature, EPA estimated 4-cylinder, 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. Don't take a chance on being stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get your battery tested. It's free of charge, one of the many services available. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Michael on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. How about Eddie George picking for the Titans? That's probably the best pick, right?
Yeah, probably.
Eddie George.
He did some things while he was there.
Eddie George is in acting now. When I was in New York City not that long ago, a couple of years ago, I was near the theater district, and I saw he was going to be in Chicago, the play. And I was like, wait a minute, that Eddie George? And I was like, yeah, it is that Eddie George. He was also on Ballers, the rock, the HBO show.
Playing himself.
He's gotten into acting. To be on a Broadway performance of Chicago, that's you gotta have some skills. You know, they don't just give that to anybody. And Eddie George is not like that big of a star in the acting world to like just get that automatically because he's Eddie George. Like, that's not gonna sell tickets to the New York theater crowd that a Tennessee Titans running back and former Heisman Trophy winner is starring in Chicago. I mean, they'd rather have, like, you know, John Malkovich, you know, or somebody like that. But he must have been good enough to get the gig. So that'll be good if he comes out and comes out and makes the pick.
Yeah. Or, you know, if maybe he helps MC it. Like what Drew Pearson did.
No, that's
last
very
year.
True. That's a good point. That's very true.
Get those test those acting chops, if you will.
So Thursday night, the Arizona Cardinals with the number one pick. What if they don't take Kyler Murray? What if they take Nick Bosa instead? What does mean for that pick? Joey Bosa, I'm sorry.
No, wait.
I keep getting confused.
No, you're right.
Bosa.
You're right.
No, Nick. Joey Bosa plays for the Chargers.
That's right.
So Nick Bosa, if they take Nick Bosa instead, what does this mean for Kyler Murray and for the teams picking behind him? Well, if I'm the Giants, I don't want the Giants to take a quarterback that high. Well, at least I think the Giants should get a quarterback. I just think you get a quarterback later. I think the Giants make a move to get Kyler Murray. I think the Broncos getting put in an interesting situation because, again, I think they're looking at linebacker. I think they want to get one of the Devins out, either Devin White or Devin Bush, in that slot at 10. But I think that also opens up a possibility of jumping up and packaging a couple of picks to move up to get him. But that begs the question then, is Kyler Murray worth throwing your draft board away for at least the first round? Because his talent exceeds that of any expectation you might have had. Like if you've evaluated Kyler Murray and said, okay, just in case, does he rank so high among the other quarterbacks that you're willing to throw off the board to go get him? Because here's what's going to happen. If Murray is available after one, teams that want him will make a move to get him. That means more quarterbacks are likely to fall for the Giants, let's say at six, and for the Broncos at 10, than they may have originally anticipated. So do you say, nope, Murray is so much better than Dwayne Haskins, who's gotten a lot of positive scouting reports, or Drew Locke, who is a big quarterback, needs a little help with footwork, but can throw a pretty good ball. Does your evaluation of Murray exceed those two guys so much that you're willing to go, all right, let's start packaging up and making some phone calls? Or do you stand pat and say, you know what, I'm going to let this shake out above me and see what's left over now that this could shake things up a bit? Because if Bosa goes one, right, San Francisco doesn't need a quarterback, they're likely to trade. Quinnen Williams, I'm hearing, is the guy that grades out the best in his position, right? That he is the clear, like, he is better at his position than anybody in the draft is at theirs. All right, so he may go somewhere down the road, right? Team may move up, take Kyler Murray third, let's say. The Raiders might take him at four if he falls down that high. So now the Raiders may not go get Haskins. Haskins may fall to the Giants at six, right? Drew Locke, who John Elway supposedly likes, may be available at 10. He might have been available at 10 anyway. This could shake it up a little bit here. This could be interesting. And what does that say about Josh Rosen? Now, if you're the Giants, do you trade for Josh Rosen rather than try to move up to get Kyler Murray? Depending on the value that you're going to be able to get, or what it would cost to get Murray's pick or Rosen as a player. That, of course, only comes if Arizona were to take Murray in the first place. This could be really interesting if Murray doesn't go number one, doesn't it? I'm actually semi-rooting for it.
Yeah, well,
to get a little chaotic.
You know what? I mean, the problem is that we haven't really had too many upsets happening recently. You know, pretty much since the NCAA tournament. And I think this would be looked at as an upset if he didn't go number one.
That would, yeah. Now, Mel Kiper is saying he's almost 100% sure, 99.9% sure, that Murray is going to the Cardinals. Pete Prisco says that's not going to happen. Peter King is leaning in Prisco's report, saying he doesn't think that the Cardinals are as sold on Murray as they appear to be. My question has always been, why would the Cardinals be so secretive as with the number one pick? What do they have to gain by being so secretive about how they feel about Murray, unless they're playing it off teams in order to get you wouldn't want it leaked, for example, that if you don't want Murray, let's say Arizona knows they want to keep Rosen and they don't want Murray, what's the point in telling people that you're not interested? You could have some trade opportunities. Right, teams may offer, but they're only going to up the value of that if they think you could pull the trigger on Murray at any moment. If people know that you're going to take somebody else, they're not likely to give you the full value for that number one pick, or a little more, or a little extra to beat out the competition. Wouldn't you want the conversation to be, we are all in on Murray, now we haven't decided, but we really like Kyler Murray? Just to see what the phone call from the Giants would be like in the first place, or somebody else that is willing to move up. But if you know you're going to take Bosa, you can say, we're not going to take Kyler Murray, and you guys fight for him. It's okay with us. Because we know San Francisco will take Bosa. So if we like Bosa, why would we move out of the one spot to not get him? Right? So to me, I'm not going to say some. I'm going to say most. I think most of it is smokescreen. Just, this is what we do when it comes to the opening round of the draft. This is what we do in round one. We sort of go, nah, this is not going to happen. Nah, this is going to happen. Nah, this is not going to happen. Because we are trying to figure out something that is unpredictable and is just covered in secrecy. But the reality of it is, when all of that conversation is happening, outside of last year with Baker Mayfield, go with what people have been pegging this whole time. that in the end, Murray is probably going to be the number one pick. SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
It is the good, the bad, and the dumb for a Tuesday. So let's go with the good, because I need to feel better about my earlier rant on the city of Nashville and country music. Go ahead.
All right, well, the good is Avengers Endgame premiered last night in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And their first reviews are in.
And they're good?
Most of the critics, and I'm saying critics, because I know fans are going to love it, but critics are saying it's a glorious masterpiece, and it's, you know, it just like changes their idea of film.
Oh, what?
I might be paraphrasing a bit there, but it's along those lines.
What? Oh, my goodness. It changes their idea of film? That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You can't get a better review than that.
I'm finding the some of the reviews. Oh, here we go. I'll just read a few because none of them are spoilers. This one, I'm not going to name the names. We're just going to read some of them. I just can't remember a cinematic experience like the one I just had with Avengers Endgame. Simply blown away. I feel like that movie was made for every Marvel fan everywhere.
Now I absolutely can't wait to go see it.
How about now this one? Imagine the best possible version of Avengers Endgame and somehow the film still surpasses all expectations. I cried 5 to 6 times. It's the most
cried. Wow.
It's the most emotional, most epic MCU film. A tribute to 10 years of this universe and holy bleep, the great fan service in this movie.
All right. So I want to go see this, but my son and his friend told me, I was talking to them about it because they go to all of these. And I said, all right, do I have to go see Captain Marvel, that Brie Larson movie, before I see this? And both of them said yes. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go see the Captain Marvel movie. But they told me I had to.
No.
So before I see this, I have to see Captain Marvel, I guess.
If I can, I'm going to give you one tiny little spoiler. But it's not really a spoiler.
Okay.
90% of the Avengers Endgame footage that's been officially released is from the first 15 minutes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right?
That's great.
I love it when that happens because, you know, I'm afraid like, oh, you know, we're going to see something way down the road.
Yeah.
No, but 90% of the, so all the footage we've seen is from the beginning of the movie. So what, 15 minutes and it's a 3-hour film?
That's great. That's great.
So 2 hours and 45 minutes of movie, you've only seen 10% of.
I love it. A masterpiece. That's fantastic. Yeah. I'm going to go try to see it without seeing Captain Marvel.
Well, you know what I think you should do, because I haven't seen Captain Marvel yet either, and this is something that I think I'm probably going to do because I don't know if I had the patience to see Captain Marvel and then go see at the end of the credits, the end credit scenes, like after the credits all roll out, I guess. Two that you need to watch, they're the two more recent ones from Ant-Man and the Wasp and Captain Marvel. And
I saw the one from Ant-Man and the Wasp.
And you can see, but you can, like, they released Captain Marvel's end, that end scene on YouTube or something like that. So you can see that. And I guess you should see that before seeing, which, you know, that's easy.
I can do that. That I can do. I just don't want to go back. I mean, again, I don't want to go buy a ticket to see Captain Marvel. I heard it's good. Don't get me wrong. I just, I don't know.
No, I'm with you.
I don't like, I didn't run to go see it. I didn't want to go see it. I was like, all right. I heard it was okay, not great. But all right. So I'll figure that out. But that's awesome. That's great. Because I am ready to sit through 3 hours of this, and I'm glad I'm not going to be, sitting through dark, not dark times, but dead times, where you're like,
right.
Okay, this half hour hasn't been all that awesome. Yeah. So very good.
So that, yeah, I was excited to I was a little nervous, but that coming from critics, again, I'm not saying, I'm going to emphasize critics because they're always harsh and wrong about what they say, but if they're coming away blown away, then I can only imagine. Maybe It could be to the point, what was that movie? It was Dogma. That Kevin Smith movie.
Kevin Smith movie, yeah.
And no one could hear God's voice because our brains couldn't handle it. That could be us.
Yeah, good point.
You know, critics' brains can handle a movie experience like that. Maybe us fanboys, we can't.
That's very true. Good point.
Could be our last movie. The bad of the day.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find a tactful way to bring this up. The Christian Life International softball team has a very unfortunate logo.
Oh, boy.
So basically what this is, the softball team is made up of mostly elders from the church. And no one has had a heart to tell them what their logo actually looks like.
This doesn't sound like it's going to be a end well.
If you could for me, Tony, because I don't need to send you the logo. All you need to do is write this down, okay?
Right.
Write the first letter of Christian. Write the letter of life. Write the first letter of international. And then write a cross.
Oh, no. Okay. What happens with it?
That is their softball team logo.
What happens? How do so many eyeballs miss this kind of stuff?
And that's the thing. Like, what it is, it's a group of elders. So they're not looking at it that way or probably not even realizing
that's true.
It. And they're saying, you know, people aren't having really the heart to tell them what that says.
Isn't there an advice of people when you say make a logo, not get a second opinion?
Right?
Yeah. But they tell you when you have a small business and you create a logo, they say don't get a second opinion. Get a fifth, sixth, tenth opinion on the logo. Make sure that it passes the eyeball test with everybody. Because you may be blind by creating your logo, thinking it's going to work, but that you're missing something. I don't know.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, too bad.
You know, a bunch of older guys just trying to get their softball on.
That's all they wanted
to
do.
That's all they wanted to do. They just wanted to make team shirts so they could be matching.
Yep, and they thought it would be awesome, and then somebody went, oh, that's not good, and they went, oh, no.
But no, I guess nobody has told. I'm sure, I'm hopefully.
But here's the other thing. What about
viral, I think people have told them.
Does anybody have the heart to tell them about, like, you're the T-shirt guy, and you're like, okay, so you want this, on a T-shirt. You sure you want this on a? Yep, that's our logo. We're so proud of it. We're so excited to get the T-shirts made. Okay, let me just reiterate. You want this on the shirt? Yep, we're so. Yep. Okay. Like, do you think the T-shirt guy goes, "Hey, come here. Can I talk to you for a second? Yeah, I know you don't see what this is, but this is what it is. Do you sure you want this?" Or they go, "Nah, the customer's always right. Slap them on those T-shirts and get rolling."
I mean, I think in this day and age, you take whatever business you can.
Yeah, I guess
that's
you're
what
right.
It kind of feels like. It's like, you know what? That's what they want. I mean, you know, I look at it as movie Dodgeball.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
when
the uniforms got mixed up and it was the old man, it was like, "Oh, you must be Daddy."
Yeah,
it's like maybe they're just that's just how they roll.
That's true.
I don't
Good
know.
Point. All right.
The dumb of the day. If that wasn't, that was going to be my dumb, but then I stumbled across this beauty. And
yep.
There is a Brooklyn restaurant that allows their patrons to just rent food. They have a rental menu.
How do you rent food?
Where you can go and you don't eat it. You just take pictures of it.
Okay, this is silly. Come on. That's got to be an onion story.
No.
Right?
Unfortunately, it's not. You could. They have prices. They have their rental fee of different items that you can rent. They also have. And you get 30 minutes with that. So it's not just like, "Hey, I'll just come and take a picture of it and that's it." You get 30 minutes. You know, take as many photos as you want. The only thing you can't do is you can't sample. You can't eat it. You can't swallow. You can't ingest anything.
I would say you can't even touch it, right? I mean,
more than likely. Well, no, you can touch it because you have some people who are holding up this, like, you know, gourmet-looking burger.
Yeah, okay. So is this for people who kind of want to show off what they're eating?
Probably. I mean, I'm sorry. You know me. I'm a big fan of millennials. This has to be a millennial thing.
Yeah, where they're like,
because this makes no sense whatsoever. I've never understood why you take a picture of food anyways.
I never got it either. But it's,
I mean, unless it's something unique, like you got a special weird-looking cake. It's like, oh, I'll take a picture of this cake.
Ah, okay. But is it kind of like where people go, look at me eating this filet mignon.
Exactly.
And people go, oh boy, they must be really living the high life. They must be really making it in the world.
Yep. I mean, you can get,
can't get enough of this oyster, whatever.
Well, so here's some of the rental items are Eggs Wonderlust, which is poached farm fresh eggs, sourdough, English muffin, brown butter, hollandaise, and kale.
Oh. Oh boy.
Yeah, I ruined it for you, didn't I?
Yeah, that's
sorry
you had
about
me
that.
Until kale.
You got VSCO and waffles. I'm not sure what that is, but it's buttermilk fried chicken, kale waffle, house made hot sauce, maple syrup for $45 just to rent. And you know, but never fear, Tony.
I bet this is as popular as heck.
Yeah,
this is as popular.
But never fear, Tony. There are rental sides as well. You can rent a purse or wallet for $24. You can
rent
sunglasses for $20.
This is brilliant. No, I'm sorry. This
laptop with intimidating PowerPoint slides for $29.
This is brilliant. This is a purse. Somebody looked at the millennials and said, you guys are so dumb. You guys will pay for this and you'll love it and you'll be so excited to pay for it. I'll just give it to you. Yep. I'm going to make you. Yes.
You look at some of these pictures. And I'm like, there's one picture with the intimidating PowerPoint slide and it's next to some sort of cappuccino and small spoon. And it just makes you look like you know, I'm getting my work on while I'm out to breakfast. Working breakfast.
That's right. This is cool.
This is terrible.
I know it's terrible, but it's terrible for the people who are suckered into this.
No, that's true. You're absolutely right. This is probably taking off, and we're probably going to see it come. You'll probably see it in Nashville, maybe for this weekend.
Probably people laughing hysterically, like, yeah, okay. And you want, we're going to put this in front of you. You can't eat it. Just take a picture of it. You're going to pay this. Yes, I am.
If that's the case, do you still cook fresh?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You don't need to,
right? Fresh, right?
I mean, go for the cheapest, bottom of the line, you know, terrible looking food, and just make it look pretty.
All right. Well, that is dumb. That is true. Oh wow, that is great. I did not know that existed. I might have to look into that.
That's another business idea that you know somebody's going to make $1 million off of. That seems stupid and easy.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Are your credit card bills stressing you out? Call the credit card debt hotline today and learn how to reduce your payments to a fraction of what you owe. Call now for free advice. 800-514-9886. 800-514-9886. 800-514-9886. It's SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. A feel-good story, I guess. I hope it turns out to be a feel-good story. Matt Stafford's wife, Kelly, 12-hour brain surgery. She went home to recover. Was on Instagram. I was a little nervous about this for the Staffords. They're a pretty good couple. They met in college. I think they were married just before or right after he got drafted. So they've been together a long time. And she had this brain tumor. And I can't imagine. And again, I mean, if I was scheduled at brain surgery, I hate to think I would do this because I hate to think, Ron, that I would not be optimistic about getting out. But I think I would want to see as many of my loved ones as possible.
Yeah. Have a party.
Like, I honestly think I would be like, I don't know if I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to meet as many of my loved ones as possible. Not to say goodbye, but just to make sure I hang out with them because I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it just sounds really, really
morbid.
Daunting. Yeah, exactly. But anyway, she was kind of upbeat, you know, about it. She had announced it in early April and, she is now home recovering. So that is a very, very good story for the Staffords. So I'm glad that worked out well. I don't know. I like Matt Stafford. I just he hasn't done anything with the Lions yet, but I like Matt Stafford. He seems to be a pretty good guy. A Georgia quarterback, got drafted. I think, was he number one overall? Yeah, he was number one overall, wasn't he?
He was number one. Lions.
Yeah, number one. Yep.
And played well.
Played well, yeah. I mean, again, he got that big contract. I mean, again, he hasn't done as great in the, you know, leading to these postseason glory, but still good enough to keep him, you know, as your quarterback and make sure he gets paid because you don't want to go look for another one, that kind of thing. So, but nevertheless, a good story, a good feel-good story anyway for Stafford. So again, the NFL draft Thursday night, Friday night, we'll be broadcasting live. It is going to be us in the mornings, David Gow and Carla Dawson, Boston Gloss will also be broadcasting. Rockin' Manooch in the afternoons here on the network. Jake Asman and Alex Gold will be broadcasting 5 hours on draft night here, as well as 4 hours on Friday. They always talk about, listen, the round one is like the party. It's going to be the big event, you know, first round picks. The real interesting night comes on Friday. You could also make an argument that, you know, Saturday and Sunday with the later rounds, because these are the way you can really fill out your team. But don't sleep on Friday's second and third round picks. I mean, these are the guys that are just, you know, are more likely to fill some needs than, you know, we always talk about first round busts. We never hear about third or fourth round busts because they just sort of disappear into the limelight. But some of the guys that you've seen impact the NFL, some of the guys that you've seen, you know, really, really help their teams were third round picks, fourth round picks, second round picks in the draft. So don't sleep on Friday, what your team is doing all the way through the 7 rounds of draft action. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, Tony D, Ron Culver.